In anticipation of Yaakov's climactic confrontation with his brother Esav, the Torah tells us quite clearly in Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Ches, Vayira Yaakov Ma'od Vayetzer Lo. Yaakov was exceedingly frightened, even distressed and in pain over the impending meeting. And Rashi explains quite intuitively that Yaakov was scared that Esav would kill him. On the one hand, this does make a lot of sense. As I say, it's intuitive. On the other hand, it's somewhat surprising. We don't typically find the Torah, the Tanakh, describing great heroes such as Yaakov Avinu, great tzaddikim, as being scared. We don't usually find something like that. Moreover, the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Samach, says that pachad, that fear, is actually for the sinner. It's a sign of a sinner if you're scared. So why is it that Yaakov, of all people, the great Yaakov Avinu, was scared? Secondly, despite this clear testimony of the Torah that Yaakov was scared, when we continue reading the story, we find that afterwards Yaakov walks with conviction. He meets Esav with confidence. He goes back for his jugs. He wrestles with the angel. He does everything he needs to do. Push comes to shove. Yaakov does what he needs to do with confidence and conviction. Well, what happened to the fear that the Torah quite clearly said the Yaakov possessed, seemingly just a moment before? To answer these questions, Rav Schwab in his Sefer Ma'ayan Beis HaShoeva offers a profound insight not only into Yaakov, but more importantly, a tremendous mussar that's relevant to us all. Says Rav Schwab, we have to read the psukim to see what comes next, in between Yaakov's fear, but before his acts of confidence. The Torah tells us that Yaakov davened to Hashem. V'yomer Yaakov, Elokei Avi Avraham, Velokei Avi Yitzchak, Hashem Ha'amer Elai Shuv La'aretzcha V'la'aretzcha V'tifa Imach. He describes Hashem, he declares Hashem, he attests to his lineage of Avram and Yitzchak, and then he says quite powerfully and plaintively, pleading to God, Hatzileni na miyad achi miyad Esav. Please save me from my brother, save me from Esav, ki yorei anochi oso penyavo v'hikani eim albanim, because I am scared he'll kill me, kill my children, my wives, etc. Says Rav Schwab, this is the key. Of course Yaakov was afraid. It's natural to be afraid. Tzadikim, great people, religious people are no different. But, here's the key, if someone truly is a giant of the spirit, someone who truly has genuine religious belief, then despite the fear, after the acknowledgement of the fear, instead of being paralyzed by it, instead of being mired in it, then that religious personality, the tzaddik, the Yaakov Avinu, gets up and davens to Hashem for help, for salvation, for sustenance and support. Once a person does that, once a person davens to Hashem, then he has confidence to move on and take care of the situation with confidence and with calm. After he's done what he needs to do, he davens, takes whatever reasonable precautions that are also necessary, which we know Yaakov did himself, prepared for war, gave gifts, diplomacy, but it all started with the davening. After the davening, says of Schwab, then Yaakov no longer had any fear, because once we daven, we know we've done what we need to do, then we can proceed with confidence. Says Rav Schwab, the lesson here, so important for us to internalize, is that tefillah is a power. It's a poel. It can do things. Davening can do things. There needs to be a hergish, there needs to be a feeling when we're davening. The davening can accomplish something. And if we daven that way, says Rav Schwab, we can then walk with confidence. The way I've presented this idea, the way I understand Rav Schwab saying this idea, it sounds like what he's saying, and I think it's so important for us, it's inspiring, it's uplifting, is that confidence is a result of tefillah. Once we've davened, we know we've put it in Hashem's hands, then we can be confident. However, I'd like to just suggest perhaps something slightly different, or at least complementary, to this beautiful and powerful lesson from Rav Schwab, from a different angle. That is a very perplexing Gemara in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches. The Gemara describes two people in identical situations. One is the person on his deathbed given a terminal diagnosis close to death. The other person is someone who was given a death sentence on the behalf of the government. He's standing in front of the executioner. His head is in the hangman's noose. And both of them are in exactly parallel situations, about to die, one from disease, one from being executed. Says the Gemara, despite their almost identical situations, they both davened, but one was saved and the other was not. Asks the Gemara, why? So the Gemara says, because even though they both davened, one davened a tefillah shelema and the other one did not. What does it mean, a tefillah shleima, complete prayer? So Rashi says, niskaven, he davened with kavana. The person who was saved, who got off the deathbed, who got out of the hangman's noose, davened with kavana. The person who didn't daven with kavana. Does that make any sense? Can you imagine two people, both in a hospital bed, two people both in the hangman's noose, they both daven, but one davens with kavana, and the other one doesn't? I mean, let's be honest, we all have our struggles with kavana, and a random Tuesday mincha, or for that matter, even a random Shabbos, sometimes it's hard for us to have kavana. But if we were on our deathbed, if we were confronting the executioner, if we were already bothering to daven, could anyone possibly be distracted the way they would be on a random mincha, on a random davening? Could you imagine someone davening when they're literally confronting death and not having kavana? It seems absurd what the Gemara is suggesting. How could it be? Two people daven, but one person on his deathbed davened without kavana? One person davened with kavana? Who would be davening on their deathbed, but davening without kavana? It doesn't make any sense. So Rav Matisseo Solomon explains very beautifully in the name of his great Rebbe, the great Musar master of Elia Lapian. It says, real davening is davening with confidence based on the belief in the effectiveness of tefillah. A tefillah shlema, niskavin, what Rashi means, what the Gemara means is, one person davened with a belief and a confidence in the possible effectiveness of tefillah. That just like a medicine can help save me, the prayers, the tefillah can help me. Someone who davens with the faith and the confidence that Hashem can change things, that's a tefillah shlema. Other people daven. It's not that they don't believe, they daven. But they're davening already from a perspective of giving up, of yish. They're already thinking about the day after the funeral, so to speak. That's not true davening. That's not tefillah shlema. So whether the confidence is the result of the tefillah, what we bring to tefillah, that is a critical aspect of our prayers.